Hi, it's Elizabeth Lomas. I'm joining you from the Records Management Today podcast. I'm joined by my co-presenter, James Lappin. And today we've got a guest online, Mark Fresco from Infosight Limited. And Mark has been one of the motivating forces and authors of MoEC 2, which is the de facto European standard specification for electronic records management systems. Mark was involved in the first publication of MoEC and subsequently led the rewriting and republication of MoEC 2. And we've asked Mark to come online and really tell us what the latest news is with MoEC, where it is at the moment and what the news is in terms of where he sees it going. So we're just going to have a chat with Mark, and I'm going to hand over to him now to really tell us some information on what's happening with MoEC. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Hi. Nice to speak to you. Well, this is actually quite an interesting time to talk about MoEC because there's a lot just going on and just about to go on. So picking in no particular order, just sort of informally, I suppose the biggest thing that's happening right now is that as of yesterday, the 18th of January, that was the closing date for consultancies or whoever to submit bids to undertake a major program of development for MoEC. So there has been a lot of, I think you will know that there has been a lot of comment that MoEC 2 is a very complicated, very long specification document, and a lot of people would like to see it simplified and shortened and so on. So the organization that runs MoEC 2, which is the DLM Forum, is letting a contract to do exactly that. Not exactly that, to shorten it, but to change the balance so that the mandatory elements, the mandatory core, is itself shorter and simpler.
So that's really exciting. So what's your feeling about that? You know, having been involved in the initial one, what will be the value, or do you think that, you know, the impact of that?
I have very mixed feelings, but I mean, I support the endeavor generally, absolutely, without reservation. I support it, but I have mixed feelings about it, if that makes sense. Go on.
Sorry, Mark. Go on, explain.
Well, it is a long document. It is, there are dozens of specifications for electronic records management out there. MoEC 2 is one of them. And it is the longest one. It is the most complex one. Some people say it's too complex. The question is it too long and too complex in its mandatory elements? We have, September, we have actual proof that it's a realistic specification because a company has put its software product through testing and has been granted the certificate that it's MoEC 2 compliant.
And that's Fabersoft.
That's Fabersoft, pronounced. Yeah, German company. Yeah. So we know it's achievable. It's not totally unrealistic. But yes, it is long. Yes, it is complex. Yes, it is a big hurdle. The philosophical question is it too, is it too hard?
Well, I mean, the thing is that I think it all boils down to pounds and pence at the end of the day. I mean, my impression from the outside is that... Can you hear me still?
Yeah, absolutely.
My impression from the outside is that vendors, because there's a lot of mandatory clauses that vendors would have to adapt their systems in order to pass, that means them putting pounds and pence into making the changes necessary to their software. And this, my reading of it is that this is pressure from vendors to reduce the amount of mandatory clauses so that it's less onerous on them to comply. Is that me being cynical or...?
No. That's exactly the real place where we are. This is in response to the vendor community more than the user community. So the expectation is that this project, so we received the bids yesterday, and we will select the supplier sometime this month. When I say we, I mean the DLM Forum through its MoEC governance board.
Right. The
expectation is that contractor, whoever is chosen, will deliver by the next DLM Forum meeting, which is in Madrid in May, a late draft of what it's going to be. And so by May, we will have this a very good idea of what the future shape will be like.
Right, it
should be something for which certification is more achievable, easily cheaper, but from the user's perspective is somewhat less demanding in terms of usability and functionality.
Right.
So that's the balance to be struck, and who's to say? So, you know, who's the best person to strike the balance?
So the impact will... Now, presumably, for any... If I was a buyer of electronic records management software, and one of the clauses that will be made... Say there's a clause that's really important to us as an organisation, but gets made optional... by MOREC, that would mean we can still specify it in our contract, but the vendor may not have submitted it for testing against that module, so we wouldn't know.
That's exactly right, James. Yeah, right. So the idea is that hopefully in a year or year and a half's time, there will be many certified products out there which have been certified against this somewhat slimmed-down mandatory core.
Right.
You, as a buyers will then look at what they need out of a system, and they'll say, well, we need MOREC 2 compliance and the following features which are marked as optional but for us are mandatory. And so they will issue a short ITT. The short ITT will specification as part of their ITT, as part of their invitation to tender. This short document should say MOREC 2 compliance and the following extra bits and pieces.
Now, Mark, with the optional, the functionality that's going to be made optional, say I'm a vendor... And my system actually does one of these optional things perfectly, really, really well. Will the MOREC regime test it so that I can have certification that we've met this optional module?
Speaking from memory, there's two answers. I think the optional requirements do get tested. But in any case, a part of this big redevelopment that's about to start is not just to rewrite the specification, but to rewrite the test package that goes with it. You can imagine it's quite a big job.
Yeah.
But if it does test the optionals, I don't think that, normally speaking, the results of the optionals, or the test of the optionals are... Actually, I'm not even sure if the optionals are tested. I'm sorry, I'm speaking from memory here. But even if they are tested for some reason, then don't... today turn up in the test report because the test report is about the mandatory test.
So it does have a big impact then, because it means that there's no kind of independent testing and reporting on that functionality if it's made optional.
I think that's right, but the positive counter to that, and it is very positive and very important, is that we can expect that in a year or a year and a bit there will be many more certified products.
Well, that's what MOREC needs, isn't it? Because at the moment, there's only one on the list.
And it's not so much what MOREC needs. I wouldn't be interested in all this stuff. It's what the records management community needs. There's no point having a better, more comprehensive specification if it doesn't have products that adhere to it.
So, that's right.
You know, I think this is a very positive move.
Yeah.
And what's the value in terms of having it as a European standard rather than an international standard, given that we all work and the suppliers work internationally?
I agree entirely. There is no reason I can think of why we should have a fantastic European specification, and in North America there should be a fantastic American specification, and in Australia there's a fantastic Australian one. And there is also, of course, the global one, which the ICA produced last year. And so the DLM forum has put out feelers to the ICA about collaborating in some way. This is at a very early stage, but we realize that there are too many big standards out there. And so the first people we're talking to, if you like, is the ICA about their three volume specification that came out last autumn. Autumn 2008. And to that end, the DLM forum will be sending one or two people along to the ICA conference that's coming up in Geneva in April, and we'll be talking about MOREC 2 and about ways in which the two teams can collaborate for future developments. So again, I think that's a positive development.
So if we look at standards around the world, I suppose the biggies are the American DoD and the MOREC 2, and would you say the Australian one?
Well, opinions, I mean, it's difficult to judge. I think the ICA one is probably fairly influential, but it's difficult to find out because of the way it's named.
But
it depends as well what country you're speaking from, James, because there are things like NOARC, which has been really influential in the countries that was developed by.
Oh, what is NOARC?
It depends where you're.
NOARC, yeah, it is, as Elizabeth says, influential in the country from which it comes, being Norway, and to a lesser extent, the Scandinavian countries around it.
Right.
And they have a stated intention to move towards MOEC compatibility. So the current one, NOARC 5, is meant to be a little bit more like MOEC than its predecessor was. But it's still quite different.
It's obviously attractive to have one international standard. But the ICA standard doesn't have a testing regime, does it?
The ICA standard does not have a testing regime, and nor can it. The way it's written, it is simply not testable, and I think it was never intended to be testable. So it's a different. So as we talk, as we in the DLN forum, we'll talk to the ICA, hopefully about converging in some way or ways. That's quite an interesting problem as to how to achieve that, because they're written at different levels of detail. I think there's about just under 300 requirements in the ICA specification, volume 2, and there's about 800 in MOEC 2. So they're very, very different conceptually, although they say a lot of the same things. They're very they're compatible. You can't test against the requirements in the ICA specification, given the way it is written.
Right.
But I was astonished at just how many national type specifications there are. I did some looking around, and like you immediately think of the DoD and the Australian one or two specifications from Australia. But in fact, there are a couple of dozen, I think, and I brought them all together on a web page on the MOEC 2 collateral site.
Right.
I was amazed on that, Mark, as well, at how far afield MOEC had an influence in terms of, there was writing and research in all parts of the world, and Kazakhstan and Brazil, came up on. And that website's a good resource for looking at the impact.
I mean, I don't wish to insult any country by singling it out for mention here, but I was pretty pleased and surprised to see mentions in Mexico and Kazakhstan and so on. So, but quite apart from the mentions and the presentations and the papers that are being written, there are also these existing specifications, which are all brought together on one page. I can't remember how many there are, but it must be over 20, I think. So they're well more than the ones we commonly think about. A lot of them aren't in English, of course, like the Finnish one, for example, and the German one, and the Brazilian one. So there are all these specifications out there, a lot of which owe something to one of the MOECs. Not all, a lot of them do.
What's your reading of the records management marketplace, or the marketplace for electronic records management software at the moment?
Ooh. Well, that's a big question. I should ask you the same thing, really.
because I wanted to ask a question which relates to both of you, given your SharePoint and research you've been doing and your practitioner experience, James, which is really, SharePoint. Metataxis have done this mapping of SharePoint to MOEC 2, which shows its partial mapping, but, not really in reality a good coverage of MOEC requirements. And what's the impact of something like SharePoint 2, which has got such a huge take-up, on a standard like MOEC for records managers?
I mean, I think it's massive impact, because I think the real power of MOEC comes when people go out to tender and say, I only want a MOEC 2 compliant system. And that's what really incentivises vendors to go out and put that extra research and development to make their systems MOEC 2 compliant. The problem you've had with SharePoint is that so often companies have it on their Microsoft Enterprise Agreement, and therefore when they think about content management, they're thinking, well, we've already got licenses for this one over here. Okay, it's not MoRec 2 compliant or whatever system standard applies to their country, but we've got the licenses, let's try this one first. And I think that's, when you couple that with the global economic downturn, you've got two things, two massive things, that are both acting to reduce the amount of tenders that are issued for electronic records management software, which reduces the influence not just of MoRec 2, but of any electronic records management standard, however well it was written, however concise it was, however perfect it is. The lack of tenders really hits hard at its influence.
Mm. I was just wondering, Mark, how important it is that governments across the world are on board to drive forward the standards. Originally, the UK government and the National Archives were influential in the development of standards.
Yeah, I think it is important that you look at it both ways, that governments and National Archives and State Archives should play their part and should support this activity, and looking at it the other way around, that the MoRec 2 team, the DLM Forum, does things which are viewed as appropriate by the National Archives and government bodies. I think that is a very important part of the puzzle, but I think it is equally important and of growing importance that the private sector play its part as well. So the vendor community has been getting involved more and more with the governance of MoRec 2, and that is a trend which surely must continue. We must see more private sector input from vendors and potentially from large user organizations, or small user organizations, I suppose, in terms of the governance and the future shaping of MoRec. And yet another development is that is being formed right now, an expert body by the... Sorry, expert body is some sort of jargon, European jargon. And the European Commission is setting up and funding an expert body which will be called the MoRec Editorial Board. And we've made specific provision for that to include people who are not necessarily members of the DLM Forum or whatever. And that will be another way for private sector individuals to contribute their expertise and desire to progress all this.
It's interesting you say about the public sector and the private sector and the difference, because electronic records management was very much a public sector creation, wasn't it? That, you know, in the UK, this great central government drive in the, you know, between 2000 and 2005 to roll out electronic records management systems to everyone in the organisation. And I think the private sector hasn't been... the private sector's tended to say, well, we're not going to take the corporate approach and give everybody an EDRM. We've got certain parts of our organisation that are really important that we want a really good
document management system. You're right. I mean, remember always, our perspective is heavily coloured by the UK. It is the government bodies, the national archives, plural, of the various countries that started these things, whether it's in the USA, which was the first one to do it. That wasn't the National Archives, it was a government body being the Department of Defence.
Yeah.
And in England, it was the Public Record Office, today's National Archives, and so on throughout the world. They kicked off these activities, but they have had an impact well beyond the public sector. Certainly in America, the defence standard, the 5015.2, we tend to forget it's the defence standard, and so it was adopted and made mandatory for the entire defence supplier community, what used to be called the military-industrial complex.
Right.
So it's very influential in the private sector there. And MoRec 2, I know personally, has been used, but as you say, in a slightly different way in the private sector than in the public sector. So it definitely is noted and used and has value in the private sector.
You mentioned outreach to other sectors, all sectors of the economy with MoRec, and the wider the adoption of it, the better. What is the DLM Forum, the European Union, doing to get MoRec out there to people?
Yeah, well, the DLM Forum's main vehicle for this, I suppose, is its website, which is, well, it's got two different URLs. It's dlmforum.eu, or if you prefer, MoRec.info. The latter actually gets into the MoRec side of the website. There's a huge amount of information there, huge amount of papers and presentations and things from the past. And that's a very well-populated website.
I think it's great. I think there's some really interesting presentations. There's one presentation comparing the different standards around the world. It's really, really useful.
Yeah, there's some fantastic stuff there. I mean, some which is obviously very dated as well, but, you know, that's fine. Also, in terms of different countries, on that site, on norec.info, you'll find all of the existing translations, and I think it's an important feature of MOREC too, that there are a lot of translation projects. Now, a few of them have already delivered translations, either complete or in draft, and that's something like French, Russian, Czech, and Slovenian. But we are actually tracking no less than 15 translation projects around the world.
Wow.
And quite a few of those are due to deliver their translations by the end of the first quarter of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite significant.
Will they be affected by the rewrite? So if the rewrite's happening in the spring?
That's a good question. The answer to which is, well, yes, they must be, I guess. We haven't really worked out what to do. We're actually holding a conference in Brussels on the 5th of February for translators, and that is one of the agenda topics, is how will they be able to react. I suspect the answer will vary from country to country according to what resources they choose to throw at it.
Well, in other words, they may choose to publish MOREC 2 and then do extra work to get the revised. What will they call it, by the way? The new version that comes out, will it be MOREC 3 or will it be MOREC 2.1? Or
we haven't discussed that yet.
Right.
There's all sorts of possibilities that haven't been discussed yet. I just don't know. But always remember that the translations are all done by volunteers who want to do it. It's not something that's centrally funded from Brussels. It's not something where anyone can sit down and say, you must now revise your translation. This is all voluntary activity. And if you think that there are 15 translation projects or something like that, I think that says something as well. There is also, in terms of outreach and support, there's also the fairly recent MOREC 2 collateral site, which is something that we're sponsoring, which is MOREC2.eu.
Right.
And that's got, as I mentioned, lots of specifications, but various other presentations, papers and news items and pamphlets and things.
So MOREC2.eu, is that different from the MOREC?
Yeah, MOREC.info is the official website of the DLM forum.
Right.
MOREC2.eu is a website which is sponsored by InForesight Limited.
Oh, right. Which is you. Yeah.
So they're two different things. One has got all the official stuff, if you like. The other one has a collection of things which should be useful, but which probably aren't appropriate for an official website.
Great.
Because, you know, they don't have any relationship to the DLM forum. They're just useful things about or mentioning MOREC 2. So that's on the collateral website. That's how that's organised. And then the other thing that's going to happen soon, and when I say soon, I mean, I believe, by the end of January, is that AIM International, the American-based international organisation, will be launching an online training course specifically about MOREC 2, a four-hour online training course.
Wow.
So anyone who's really interested in or who wants to or needs to know about MOREC 2, that course should be available by the end of the month on AIM's website and on our website.
Oh, terrific. Mark, at this point, I'd really like to thank you very much. You've been our first guest this year, and it's been terrific having you on the show. I mean, there's lots of things that you've mentioned coming up. So there's the meeting in Geneva of the International Council on Archives, where DLM will be talking to ICA, and that's in April, is it?
That's in April, yes.
Yeah, and then May, there's the DLM forum meeting in Madrid.
Yep.
By which time there may be a new version of MOREC, or is that too soon for that?
It won't be finished. What do I know? We're not going to be developing it. The expectation is there will be a late draft or something, or an outline available.
Okay, but there'll be some public pronouncement at that stage at the DLM forum, presumably.
One hopes so, as I say. Well, that is the hope. Yeah. I cannot commit to that because we're not doing the work.
No. But, so it'll be really interesting. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on that. And you know, if if you're happy to come back after April or May and talk about how things are going, we'd love to have you back on the show.
That'd be great if it's useful. Be pleased to do that. Yep.
Fantastic. Thanks. Well, thanks ever so much, Mark. Really appreciate your time and for updating us on all that. And good luck with the developments with MoRec 2 over these next 6 months.
Thank you. Lovely chatting with you.
Thanks.